She'd been ignored. Ruin turned toward her. He came often, wearing Reen's body, still indulging himself in what Vin could only assume was a kind of gloating. As he often did, however, he ignored her question. Instead, he turned to the east, eyes seeming as if they could see directly through the cell wall. "I wish you could see it," he said. "The ash falls have grown beautiful and deep, as if the sky itself has shattered, raining down shards of its corpse and flakes of black. You feel the ground tremble?" Vin didn't respond. "Those quakes are the earth's final sighs," Ruin said. "Like an old man moaning as he dies, calling for his children so that he can pass on his last bits of wisdom. The very ground is pulling itself apart. The Lord Ruler did much of this himself. You can blame him if you wish." Vin perked up. She didn't draw attention to herself by asking more questions, but instead just let Ruin ramble on. Again, she noted just how human some of his mannerisms seemed. "He thought he could solve the problems himself," Ruin continued. "He rejected me, you know." And that happened exactly 1,000 years ago, Vin thought. 1,000 years has passed since Alendi failed in his quest. 1,000 years since Rashik took the power for himself and became the Lord Ruler. That's part of the answer to my question. The glowing liquid at the Well of Ascension, it was gone by the time I finished freeing Ruin. It must have disappeared after Rashik used it too. 1,000 years. Time for the well to regenerate its power? But what was that power? Where did it come from? "The Lord Ruler didn't really save the world," Ruin continued. "He just postponed its destruction. And in doing so, he helped me. That's the way it must always be, as I told you. When men think they are helping the world, they actually do more harm than good. Just like you. You tried to help, but you just ended up freeing me." Ruin glanced at her, then smiled in a fatherly way. She didn't react. "The Ashmounts," Ruin continued. "The dying landscape, the broken people. Those were all Rashik's. The twisting of men to become Kolos, Khandra, and Inquisitor. All his." "But you hated him," Vin said. "He didn't free you, so you had to wait 1,000 years.
"True," Ruin said, "but 1,000 years is not much time. Not much time at all. Besides, I couldn't refuse to help Rashik. I help everyone, for my power is a tool, the only tool by which things can change."
It's all ending, Vin thought. It really is. I don't have time to sit and wait. I need to do something. Vin stood, causing Ruin to glance toward her as she walked to the front of the cell.
"Guards!" she called.
Her voice echoed in her own chamber.
"Guards!" she repeated.
Eventually, she heard a thump outside.
"What?"
a rough voice demanded.
"Tell Yeoman that I want a deal."
There was a pause.
"Deal?"
the guard finally asked.
"Yes," Vin said. "Tell him I have information that I want to give him."
She wasn't certain how to read the guard's response, since it was simply more silence. She thought she heard him walking away, but without Tin, she couldn't tell. Eventually, however, the guard returned. Ruin watched her, curious, as the door unlocked and then opened. The customary troop of soldiers stood outside.
"Come with us."
As Vin entered Yeoman's audience chamber, she was immediately struck by the differences in the man. He looked much more haggard than he had the last time they'd met, as if he'd gone far too long without sleep.
"But he's Mistborn," Vin thought with confusion. "That means he could burn pewter to keep that fatigue out of his eyes. Why doesn't he? Unless he can't burn it. Unless there's only one metal available to him."
She'd always been taught that there was no such thing as an Atium misting, but more and more she was realizing that the Lord Ruler perpetuated a lot of misinformation to keep himself in control and in power. She had to learn to stop depending on what she'd been told was true and focus on the facts as she found them. Yeoman watched her as she entered, guards surrounding her. She could read the expectation of a trick in his eyes, yet as always he waited for her to act first. Hovering very close to the edge of danger seemed his way. The guards took stations at the doors, leaving her standing in the middle of the room.
"No manacles?" she asked.
"No," Yeoman said. "I don't expect you to be here long. The guards tell me that you've offered information."
"I have."
"Well," Yeoman said, arms clasped behind his back. "I told them to bring you to me if they even so much as suspected a trick. Apparently they didn't believe your pleas that you want to deal. I wonder why."
He raised an eyebrow toward her.
"Ask me a question," Vin said.
To the side, Ruin trailed through the wall, stepping with an idle, unconcerned gait.
"Very well," Yeoman said. "How does Elend control the Kolos?"
"Allomancy," Vin said. "Emotional allomancy, when used on a Kolos, will bring them under the Allomancer's control."
"I find that hard to believe," Yeoman said flatly. "If it were that simple, someone other than yourself would have discovered it."
"Most Allomancers are too weak to manage it," Vin said. "You need to use a metal that enhances your power."
"There is no such metal."
"You know of aluminum?"
Yeoman paused, but Vin could see in his eyes that he did.
"Duralumin is the allomantic alloy of aluminum," Vin said. "Where aluminum dampens the power of other metals, duralumin enhances them. Mix duralumin and zinc or brass, then pull on the emotions of a Kolos and he will be yours."
Yeoman didn't dismiss her comments as lies. Ruin, however, strolled forward, walking around Vin in a circle.
"Vin, Vin, what is your game now?" Ruin asked, amused. "Lead him on with little tidbits, then betray him?"
Yeoman apparently came to the same conclusion.
"Your facts are interesting, Empress, but completely unprovable in my present situation. Therefore, they are..."
"There are 5 of these storage caverns," Vin said, stepping forward. "We found the others. They led us here."